Hello and welcome. I'm Renee Kemp in for Rose Aguilar today, and this is Your Call. Today we're talking about the representation of young people in the media, their experiences and their challenges. We certainly hear a lot about millennials in the news today. They're widely considered to have been born between 1981 and 1996. We know that they're buying fewer cars, they're buying fewer homes, they're getting married and divorced less, and they go through a lot more jobs than previous generations tended to do. But what about that next generation? Well, some experts think that many of the trends will continue, and as Gen Zers begin to enter the workforce, we're starting to learn more about them. We're seeing more stories about them and for them, and perhaps most importantly, stories by them. So today, we're joined by three young media makers to find out just how young journalists, filmmakers, and writers are changing the media ecosystem. So thanks so much for the young folks who came all the way down to the studio today. It's good to see your beautiful, young, well-scrubbed little faces.
Thank you.
And as a veteran journalist, I get to call you young folks. You're babies, and it's wonderful to see that you've taken up the mantle. So Wendy Calmo is here from the Bay Area Video Coalition, Amber Lee from YR Media, and CJ from 826 Valencia's Young Authors Workshop. Starting with Amber Lee, Amber is an associate producer with YR Media, which is a national network of young journalists and artists headquartered in Oakland, California. And Amber specializes in radio work. Then there's Wendy Calmo. Wendy is outreach coordinator for the BAVC, that's the Bay Area Video Coalition, and also a Bridge Fellowship alumni. The BAVC is a community of media makers that provides access to media making technology and also to storytelling workshops. And the Bridge Fellowship is designed for anyone from the age of 18 to 24 who want to make a career in the industry. And Wendy is a filmmaker. And also, CJ is here. CJ recently participated in 826 Valencia's Young Authors Workshop. 826 Valencia works with students ages 6 to 18 on their writing skills, and the Young Authors Workshop is a 3-week writing camp that is open to students in grades 10 through 12. They explore a diverse range of genres. They learn to edit their own writing in small groups, and eventually they actually become published authors. And CJ is a writer. So Amber, Wendy, and CJ, thank you all for being here so much.
Thank you so much
for having us.
Well, let's start with, tell us a little bit about yourselves. Amber, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Amber. So I've been at YR Media for 5 years now. I started the program at age 16, and I was a student there through their training program where they train you in media. They train you in multimedia, journalism, and music. And now I'm back there several years later. I went through the program as an intern in the newsroom and also as a production assistant in college. And then now I'm back there as staff, and it's an amazing, like, progress. I didn't expect that to happen, but I just kind of fell into it. And, yeah, I wanted to be a storyteller for my whole life. And, yeah, I'm really excited to be making, to be producing stories that are made by young people like me.
Did you ever think that you would be using media, multimedia, as your means of storytelling? Did you always know?
I always saw myself as a writer, and I was always afraid of the microphone, actually. And it's kind of surprising now that I'm in front of one, and but in high school, I thought that my means of medium would always be writing and on paper. But then I sought out something that would challenge myself, and then I fell into radio, and I love radio now.
There's something intimate about it,
yeah.
Radio, isn't there?
Yeah, it's like right in your ear.
Mm-hmm. It's in your head, really.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more imagination required because there are no images, visual images.
Yeah.
It requires more imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started in radio. I love it.
I love it so much.
Okay, Wendy Calmo, you're next. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started.
Yes, I'm actually, my name is Wendy Como. The first thing I remember, I always like to introduce myself is I'm an immigrant refugee. I came here when I was like 10 months old. And I thought, like, I've always had this connection towards media because as like a new immigrant and a first generation immigrant, culture shock is a huge thing, and learning the language and everything. And the way I learned through that was through media. And as a young person, especially in that transitional phase where like phones and technology was all like super advancing and more like adjustable to like everyday use, I was able to like create things. And I've been in love with it ever since, especially since now. I've always thought like journalism would be my kind of like niche, like just because I like informing people, I like learning about new things and like sharing stories. And going to college, I went to film school, and my original thought was being a documentarist. But after a while, like especially I was in college when the presidential election happened, I just felt like all these stories were being told that were not by me, and especially doesn't really represent what I feel are the real stories out there. And especially I felt like my voice was sort of like, in a sense, kind of like spoken for me. And I felt like media, especially like I've always loved social media, digital media, even like I've worked on a newspaper, and I just felt like it was so like always inspiring for me to tell stories. And I felt like, especially at BAVAC, graduating college was very difficult, and especially being sort of like the over the age of like 18, it's very difficult to find programs. And BAVAC was one of the very like first people to make me feel inclusive because of the understanding of like you are a storyteller, you just need the tools to learn it. And BAVAC was able to give me all these training and learning the camera and working with clients, and it was just amazing to be. Feel like I belong in this space sort of thing. And now I'm proud to say that I'm a filmmaker, and I've been a filmmaker for a while, and I feel like it's taking me this long to really say it, but I'm glad I'm finally here, and I'm ready to tell so many stories, especially as a person of color, especially as an immigrant, especially as a woman. And I feel like those are stories I really want to be able to tell.
And BAVAC, again, is the Bay Area Video Coalition.
Yes.
And of the trio here today, you are the veteroni. You're 25.
Yes.
Amber, you're 21. Yes. And you're both college graduates.
Yes.
And you're kind of an example for our third guest, CJ. You're
Hi.
16.
Yes.
And you're with 826 Valencia Young Authors, and you're the writer
yes.
in this trio. So talk about how you came to writing as your form of expression. And so young, how long have you been with 826 Valencia?
Well, I've worked with them throughout every school that I've been at, because I was at Rosa Parks Elementary, and they would do stuff there, and we like did a field trip to their place and like road. And then I was at Presidio, and we recorded like a podcast with them.
How old were you when that started?
I was like 14, I think, mm-hmm. when we did the podcast thing. I was like 10 when we did the first writing thing, which I wasn't a huge fan of. But then we worked, and then I go to Mission now, Mission High School, and we work with them there. And we were like in English class, we were working on like a personal essay thing, and I would work with 826 volunteers, and I felt really like supported by them, and like I felt like they're the way that they worked was like really, really great. So at the end of the year, my teacher told me about this program that they had over the summer, which was like 3 weeks, the Young Authors Workshop, and I decided to sign up for it just sort of on a whim, because I was like, my mom was like, you have to get a job, and I didn't want to get a job. So instead I was like, well, I'll just write, and they pay you too. So it's a win-win situation,
I
guess.
It is a win-win. Imagine getting paid for your writing so young.
Yeah.
Some of us go a whole lifetime and don't get paid for our writing.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. Well, did they just, in the writing workshop, did they just turn you loose and tell you just write something, or did they give you some guidelines and kind of get you started on the process?
They had like guest speakers come in and talk about different mediums and different genres and stuff, and then they also gave us like prompts and things to work with, and then also free write time. And I worked really well with the free write time because I sort of like have a bunch of random ideas, and then I just assemble them together, I guess. And like before coming into the program, I thought of myself as a writer kind of, but I mostly just thought of myself as like a storyteller, like some of the other people here have said. Like, I've always thought of myself as a storyteller. It just, I love so many different mediums. But for me, writing is the one that's easiest to do, I guess, because you can just, like, take things that are in your head and just put them onto paper.
And yet I've always thought of writing being a lonely thing. You know, when you're doing media that involves, you know, using any kind of technology, it tends to be more interactive. So was there something about the solitary nature of writing that attracted you?
Well, I'm an only child, so I've always been, like, okay to, like, be on my own. And I can collaborate, but I work better on my own because I feel like I can sort of, like, talk it out in my head, I guess, or just, like, I feel safe, like, when I'm all alone, so I can just, like, write things and be like, nobody's going to read this, so I can write it, and then eventually I'm like, okay, this is good enough for people to read, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I guess it just feels safer just to work on my own. You know, I just like the sort of, like, solitary, just, like, just working, I don't know.
It's a calling.
On my own, yeah.
Not everybody can do that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the late Toni Morrison, I was fascinated. She was talking recently in an interview with Terry Gross on Fresh Air about her process and how she got started. And she was in her late 30s and just decided to grab a yellow legal pad and a pencil. And she had a young baby. The baby threw up on the legal pad. But she was getting so connected to what was on that notepad that she thought, you know what, I'm going to write right around the throw up because that sentence I just put down was precious.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
You know, being able to find a way to get what's in your head on a page it's just a remarkable accomplishment. So I'm in awe of writers, as you can tell. And also, I love radio. So I'm glad that there are folks like Amber who are getting into radio. Again, it's such an intimate medium. Is that why you chose it? One of the reasons you chose it?
Yeah, definitely. I guess I didn't really realize that at first. I was just more like trying to get over my fear of like either being on camera or like getting in front of a microphone or even just like talking to people. I've always been pretty shy. But then I realized like how like intimate it is to share like other people's stories, even my own stories, through radio, through your voice, and just listening to like the emotions behind it. It's become like so important to me that like I was like this is the medium that I want to like keep pursuing.
You know, I've noticed radio has really become so illustrative. I'll just call it that. You know, you're creating mind pictures with sound. So when you're putting together a story, when you're trying to tell a story without the benefit of visuals, how do you do that? Do you include natural sound, we call nat sound, like if somebody's walking on gravel? Do you incorporate that sound? If you walk into a room, how compelled are you to describe what you're seeing? If there's a dog in the room, do you let the dog bark? Does that become part of your story? I mean, how do you use radio to create mind pictures for people?
Just like I think like what really got to me, what you just said just now, was the dog barking and like it's like kind of almost like accidental noises like that really like make the story come alive, because it's showing real life right there. You know, like you can't prevent the dog from barking. Sometimes like there needs to be like the actual silence of just you and another person. So, you know, you'll try to like, can I like unplug your fridge for like just like half an hour? Mm-hmm. Try to get like that like actual like to be able to hear a person clearly. But to like try to create pictures like that, like in someone's brain, sometimes you really just have to become like, you know, I also have to write just like CJ does. Mm-hmm. And so writing in those scenes of like describing like what I saw so that the listener can like see what I see and be with me.
Do you ever walk into a room now and not pay attention to sounds?
Oh, never. No, I hear every room has a sound. Mm-hmm. Like this one, I like when I come into here, I'm like, oh, okay, this is a different type of studio than what we have. The sound's different. Even I love silence. I love listening to like what those little noises are in a room when it's like completely quiet.
I love storytelling. I love the idea of it and any way that it can be done. Thank God there's technology. But, you know, I don't know if you guys, when you were in college, did the whole social 101 exercise where they do the, if there's a lifeboat, you know, there's been an apocalypse, and, you know, who do you put in that lifeboat to start life anew? And, you know, you want an engineer to rebuild. You want a physician in case people get sick. And I thought, but I want to be a journalist. I mean, could I make it on the lifeboat? Does the world need journalism? But I'm convinced that the world needs storytellers, that we have to have a way to explain who we are, how we came to be where we are, and going forward, how to avoid some of the pitfalls and some of the joys of being human. And so storytelling is really, really critical. And as a filmmaker, Wendy, I'm wondering the extent to which new technologies have made it easier for you to become a filmmaker. You don't need a studio, right?
Exactly.
You don't need Universal Studios, right?
Exactly. I've been doing this again since I was like 6 years old. I had a camera in my hand, and especially being the veteran one, I was on YouTube at age 11, and I was able to connect to some people, and I was just like, wow, like I literally just need to get older camera. We actually had the ones that the digital cameras.
Oh,
everyone
think
had.
Back way back to
way
those old
back
days.
Then, and I remember using them and talking to people, be like, hi, welcome to my YouTube channel. And it's so funny because my sisters are on my same age when I started my YouTube. And she's already just thinking about those things. And to me now, seeing like everyone who, especially the younger, you know, people who are media creators, I get to see that there's so much more access and there's no gatekeeper anymore. There's no person that can tell you this is not, you're not able to show this, you're not able to talk about this anymore, because it is out there and everyone is able to use it. And especially like as a person who is like low income, like from a low income community, those things that I was able to share, and through like video and media, I was able to express like, this is what's happening in my community, especially now, like being an activist and in my community, there's so many ways that you can tell your story, and it is your story. And I feel like that's, for me, has been so exciting, especially now that like, I was like, wow, like I have all this potential to like say what I want to say. Now I have to really make sure like I'm able to express that and be inclusive at the same time, just because for so long I remember looking at the TV and I'm like, that's not me.
Where am I?
Especially like as a person of immigrants, and then like seeing those immigrant stories, and sometimes I'm like, is that how I see myself? Is this how people see me and my family? Is this how people really think? And sometimes I feel like these stories can be very singular, and I really would love to, like, especially as a filmmaker, talk about and visualize, like, this is it's more complicated than people think, but there's so much beauty in it. There's so much to understand, and also like empathize instead of sympathize. So it's definitely been very sort of kind of like encouraging to now, not just for me, but just anyone in my community, instead of just, again, anyone who wants to say a story.
So give me an example of a story you've done.
Okay, so one of the stories I've done, actually, as living, I'm originally from Oakland. I did a story about Bring Back the Night, which is basically, it was one of the very first stories I've made, which was interviewing young people in my community. Because during that time, there was every day for 7 days, there was a child who was unfortunately murdered from, or was a cause of the violence in Oakland. And I remember talking, I was able to interview my mayor. And at 17, I didn't really think that was possible, and I felt like I was able to ask the questions and able to really tell my you know, youth in my community who I identify with, who I understand, was tell their stories of, like, this is more than just, you know, violence. This is talking about a bigger issue of, like, youth want to, like, you know, create things, want to make things and improve our community, but sometimes it can be very difficult when people don't really see you as important, because you just have to go to school. There's nothing more than you can do. You have no real voice until you turn 18. And it was sort of kind of like my first, like, journalistic kind of like, wow, I interviewed the mayor. It was my first interview.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
I was able to, felt so like, it was sort of like my like, oh, wow, I can do this. I'm able to do this, and I'm able to. And I edited the whole video, and I was able to upload it, and it was like, oh, edited by, like, camera by Wendy, and seeing my name. It was just, to me, it was like, wow, like, I am able to have something. And if, even if it's, like, 10 years later, and I show, like, my grandkids or something, I was able to tell a story. And I think that was kind of sort of, like, the key moment for me to really, like, keep going, and especially, like, telling that story of understanding of, like, youth have so many great things and amazing things to say, but it's sort of hard when you feel like there's no resources for those kind, like, resources to tell your story, resources to, like, even get access to cameras or even a computer. So it's definitely been very sort of, like, inspiring, and that's why I'm such an advocate for especially youth, because if we have so many great things to say, but of course the age limit, but I just feel like especially, I'm sorry, I'm rambling at this
That's
point.
Okay. Well, now you've become a mentor.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Sort
so
of
you've
kind
switched
of way.
Hats. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And CJ, as a writer, what is the challenge of getting people immersed? When you have the benefit of special effects and video and
yeah.
sound, it's easy to evoke emotion. How have you gone about trying to learn how to use words to evoke and pull people into your stories?
Well, the thing that I ended up publishing for 826 Valencia was different than most of my work, because a lot of the stuff that I like writing is like fiction. Like, I'm a big, like, comic book reader, so I like to write stuff to do with that. And that's, like, one of my aspirations is to, like, publish a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the program, I was, like, really bored, so I just started writing. And I ended up writing this thing about, like, phobias, because I have, like, some phobias and stuff, and it ended up being like, I want to make people understand why I fear these things, because what I fear is extremely irrational, and I wanted to be like, make the reader fear it. So I had to like describe like the nightmares I had and like things like that, and like really talk about it in like a, you know, descriptive way. Like, I feel like you talked about the Amber talked about the like the sounds in the room, and I feel like sensory detail can really like put people somewhere. Like, if you describe how things smell or like how things were looking, or, you know, if you're just reading something, you have to like be able to visualize it. I think a good story makes you visualize where you are, you know, and a good storyteller has to make you feel like you're there. Like, when I read a good book, I feel like I'm at the place. I feel like I know what it looks like. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are, like, specific that I don't know how to describe, so I have to just, like, work on it. And, you know, I've experimented with, like, all sorts of mediums, not just writing. But I feel like writing is the one that I feel the most comfortable doing, because it's sort of – I feel like it's almost, like, the purest one, because you don't have, like, all of the, like, fanciness of anything else. You just have, you know – I usually do a lot of my writing on my phone or my laptop, so I just have, like, a blank screen, and I can fill it with whatever I want, and there's, like, no expectations. I just try and be like, I'm just going to write, and then I just do it.
Well, some of us consider that blank page, they call it the tyranny of the blank page.
Yeah.
So when that thing is blank, it's blinking, and there's nothing on the screen,
yeah.
or, you know, back in the day when there were, like, typewriters.
Yeah.
Remember those? You might have to go to a museum, but it was actually a thing called a typewriter.
I think I have a friend who has one.
Okay, remember? Okay. There's this blank sheet of paper staring at you, and it's, you know, it can be so intimidating. So
yeah.
Are you saying that you're anxious to fill it up, that you've got so much ready to pour out that page, that blank page, it doesn't bother you a bit?
It bothers me, but, like, I try and not make it bother me. I try and see it as, instead of a obstacle or instead of an obligation, I see it as a, like, something, like just not like I have to do it, but I can do it if I want to, or, like, it's my choice, or, like, I can stop if I want to, or I don't have to do it. Like, what's hard for me is I don't do well with being creative, like being obligated to be creative. I can be creative if it's on my own terms, but like at school, it's hard for me to write something that I'm proud of because I'm just doing it for an A. Like, I'm not as passionate about it if I'm just doing it for money or for an A.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be passionate about it. I have to care. I have to like have something that I want to do. Like, I do all sorts of different kinds of art, and like it just becomes boring when I'm not just doing it for me.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very personal journey.
Yeah, definitely.
And we just all get to benefit when it's actually down on a page.
Yeah.
That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Amber Lee, Wendy Calmo, and CJ. How did they get into their crafts and find the programs that help them to become the journalists and storytellers of today and tomorrow? This is your call. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. For those of you just joining us, welcome back. I'm Renee Kemp. This is Your Call. We are podcasting our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. And you can also listen to past shows there and sign up for the newsletter to find out what's coming up next. And we love it when you have a show idea for us, so drop us a line. That's at yourcall@kalw.org. Tomorrow on Your Call, it's the Friday Media Roundtable. We'll be discussing the recent presidential election in Guatemala. Alejandro Giamanetti, a right-wing former prison chief, won that election overwhelmingly, nearly 60% of the vote. What are the ramifications there? And we'll also talk about the impact of a new U.S. regulation that makes it easier for the U.S. government to deny entry or green cards to any immigrant who uses social services. It's a massive change in how America is apparently going to be looking at the whole idea of immigration. So join that conversation on the Next Your Call with Ethan Elkind and you. Today we're talking youth in media, and we'd love to hear from you. What challenges do you see in the media that younger generations are facing, and how do you see youth portrayed in the media, and where are you hearing their voices? You can join the conversation 866-798-8255 or drop us an email at yourcall@kalw.org. We are joined by Amber Lee, Wendy Calmo, and CJ. They are all in that amorphous thing called media, and they are all Gen Zers. You're Gen Zers, right? Not Xers, you're Zers, right?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, so we have CJ, who's a writer, Wendy, who's a filmmaker, and Amber, who's a radio person. So, Wendy, you were talking about, I was looking at the spelling of your name before we even started the show, and your name was W-U-E-N-D-Y.
Yes.
And you had an interesting explanation as to why that is, and I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind telling that story and how that may find its way into your filmmaking.
Yes, so I was born in Guatemala, Todos Santos. It's a small village. And then the village speaks its own indigenous language. And at the time while I was born, my mom didn't really speak too much Spanish or English. So when she went to the capital to get my name, she got my name from the movie Peter Pan. And I think that's sort of like, I think it's so interesting because my name came from a film. And the woman who gave my name also, I guess, misspelled it, but my mom didn't really think much of it. So there's a U in my name. But I didn't really know that until 5 years ago, actually, when I turned 18, or not 5 years ago, a couple years back, when I tried to become a citizen. And I was telling my mom about my documentation because I want to go to college and making sure I don't have to fill out all these extra paperwork. And she gave me my birth certificate. And actually, my name what at the time was Wendy Mendoza. So when I saw what my name was actually Wendy Calmo, I was asking my mom, that's not my name. And she told me, oh, it's because when I enrolled you in school, at the time we didn't have proper documentation. I just wanted to keep you safe. And I thought that was like, wow, I had like an identity crisis. I was like, who am I? What is my name? What does this mean? And I really want to kind of sort of tell this kind of stories, especially in my filmmaking, because there's so many stories like mine with my name, not using your proper name or using different names and stuff like that because of the fear of, you know, separation and stuff like that, or, you know, deportation. And I definitely want to talk in that sort of aspect of, like, the complications of all of that because I became a refugee for a while, and it took me 18 years to become a citizen. So it was sort of kind of like this storytelling. I really want to explain how, especially for immigrant families, our life can be so chaotic and sometimes very difficult, but there's so much joy and so much love, and there's so much inspiring stories that I see every day that people are trying so hard to be this perfect citizen in this where they're considered uncitizen-like.
But those stories often get overlooked.
Definitely.
In covering the El Paso shootings, I found that the most compelling stories were ones that really delved into who were these victims? How did they come to be there, to be doing their Christmas shopping? And, you know, to actually look at who these people were as individuals. So do you find that your story is going to make it into your filmmaking at some point?
Definitely. I'm already starting thinking about the biggest story, which is the story of my mom, because I think her story will definitely connect with so many people, because she is that person who brought me here, and my dreams are her dreams are my dreams, and sort of that kind of sense of like continuing what we can our story is, which is more complicated and more complex than people think, but it's so inspiring and sort of also at the same time a good starting point of the American story.
Amber, what are some of the stories that you've had the opportunity to tell through radio?
Interesting that you want to tell your own family stories, because I actually have had a great opportunity to tell my own family stories about how a lot of my stories, especially in the beginning, when I started as an intern at Wire Media, I talked a lot about coming from a refugee family. My parents are refugees. They're refugees from Cambodia of the Khmer Rouge. And it was just kind of telling their story and getting to know them better, because for a long time, like, they don't talk about it. It's like really traumatic for them, what they had to go through. And so I knew bits and pieces for a bit, but telling their stories, and like, I've told multiple stories about them through different outlets, and every interview I learned something new. Like, it's amazing what they've gone through to raise me and allow me to tell their story, because I don't think they ever expected me to. And so I'm really grateful for that opportunity to do that, because I want to tell other people's stories, and like, I also want to tell like their stories, because that's, you know, they're like my everything, and I know that I'm also their everything. And like what you said before, I like, you know, snaps to that, because like, their dreams are my dreams.
And that's just it. The thing about stories is everybody's got one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And lots of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, for you, CJ, when it comes to filtering what you want to talk about and what you think is just, is there anything that's off limits? Is there any part of you that you think, I just can't get that down on the page?
I've had issues with certain things, mostly just, like, not wanting to write something that's gonna, like, be too inappropriate, because I have some dark thoughts sometimes that I don't really want to write, because I feel like they'll make people upset. But, and I also was, like, for a long time scared of, like, being vulnerable, because I feel like it's hard to be vulnerable sometimes. But now I've sort of, with the thing that I published, it was very vulnerable, and I felt better after writing it. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you mentioned names, because I have sort of had a thing go on with my name over the past few years. CJ's not my birth name, but I'm in the process of legally changing it for gender reasons. So, you know, I feel like a lot of people from, like, the queer community have, like, experiences with that, and I have that personally. And I feel like it's hard sometimes to talk about that stuff, because it's so, like, personal. And, like, sometimes even, like, you want to write about it, but you're, like, not even sure yourself how to describe it, because the feelings are indescribable. And I know a lot of people who have that that issue, and I've dealt with that too. And I've also, you know, written about my family too. I had to do for school last year, I had to do like an interview with my dad, and my dad's had like a very unique story to him, where he was like adopted at a late age and went through like a lot of had like a really traumatic childhood. So I had to like interview him and talk to him about you know, his life, and he's like writing a book about it too. So I just, you know, I find it very, like, it was hard to do, because I didn't really want to confront, like, thinking about the things that had happened to him, because mm-hmm. it made me sad. But at the same time, it felt better afterwards, because I was closer to him, and because that story got told. And I think it's important for it to get told, because it connects to a lot of things that are going on now.
And in that way, you are a journalist. In that way, you are all journalists, basically.
Yeah.
When you're interviewing people for material and content, and you're having to pull things out of people. Again, as a lifelong journalist, I've had that experience myself, where almost never do you get to go and talk with someone when they're, you know, they just won a lottery and something terrific just happened.
Yeah.
It's almost always at the lowest point in their life, when there's been a loss, when something dramatic traumatic has just happened. So being able to pull their stories out and tell them at a time when it's difficult to tell them is the craft of any journalist. But writing is just so raw. I admire it. I don't know how you do it.
I don't know either.
It's remarkable.
Thank you.
When you approach other people to explain to them why this might be cathartic, how do you explain it? Do you tell them, how do you get them to start? Do you suggest that they start by journaling? Or how would a young person, in your opinion, do well to get started in writing?
Be honest, I guess. Also, just like, don't think of it as like an obligation, because a lot of people are like, oh, I have to write. And it's like, no, you don't have to. If you have a good idea, if you have an idea, just like put it down. And, you know, you mentioned like other people not understanding. I do a lot of like art things that people don't really understand. Like I do drag, and people like people ask me all the time, like, why do you do that? And I was like, it's fun. It's like, it's cathartic. You know, it's something that I do for me. And I think if you like writing, if you want to write, you have to love it. You have to like be passionate about it, and you have to like want to do it. Because if you just are only doing it to get something, then it's not pure and it's not like real, I guess.
What if people get hung up on, but my grammar's not good, I'm not good at spelling, I'm just, you know, I got a D in English, and that is what's holding them back? What do you say to them to break that log jam?
Well, my grammar's atrocious, so...
But that doesn't stop you.
No, it doesn't, because I have Google Docs, and I want to learn better at grammar, because learn better, I don't think that's a thing, but whatever. I want to get better at grammar, because it's, my mind right now is really bad, but like, I feel like if, you know, grades are not a real reflection of how smart you are. Grades are a reflection of how much you care about school or how much effort you put into school. You can put like zero effort into like math at school, but be amazing at like writing on your own time, mm-hmm. you know? So I feel like, if someone's like discouraged by your grades, I don't think you should view that as, oh, I'm dumb because I didn't do this. I think that if you didn't enjoy writing in school, I think mostly that's because they were forcing you to write something that you didn't want to write. Find something that you're passionate about, find something that you're interested in, and then write about that. Like, at school, I had to sort of force myself into writing about something, but once I got passionate about it, I was like writing so much, and like would literally spend my days at home just like working on a school project. Like, we had to do like a song analysis project, and I literally did like so much research and so much just like effort put into it, more than like anybody else in the class. And you know, it wasn't even that big of an assignment. I was just so passionate about the song that I chose that I just had to talk about it, I guess.
It was something you wanted to do. Yeah.
So just find something that you want to tell. Find a story that you want to talk about. And if it ends up getting dry, maybe approach it from a new angle. Like, if maybe you could even switch the person. Like, if you're telling it from first person, you could switch it to third. Or you could even fictionalize it. Like, make up, like, okay, I'm not writing about myself. I'm writing about another person who had this experience. Or, you know, make up a character, or just change it around. I don't know.
Is that something you learned as part of the 826 Valencia Young Authors Workshop? Or was that something you just knew to do instinctively?
I think I've learned it through just like trial and error of writing at school, because I've always loved telling stories, but my writing's never been the best, because in the past I would just like not understand, like, okay, this has to make logical sense within the realm of the story, because I'll just tell like off the wall crazy stories and not understand that like this needs to have some internal logic to it, or this needs to make sense. So I guess I've just sort of learned that through like watching a lot of film and reading and just like looking at media, and also just like trial and error. But I also definitely learned a lot from 826, mm-hmm. and it really helped me write for fun more, because I do write for fun, but not like as much as I did when I was at 826 and as I plan to do in the future and plan to do future programs with them.
And Amber, I'd like to just kind of ask you, and maybe go around the room too, what are the challenges that you see in the media that younger generations are facing in terms of the ability to harness this huge amorphous opportunity You know, in a way, everybody's a filmmaker. Everybody's a writer. Everybody has access to the technology. It's in your pocket. It's in your purse. Mm-hmm. So what are the challenges that your generation faces in terms of going forward and making good use of this technology and the media?
I think that you're definitely right about how we've, Gen Zers, have so much access to, like, YouTube, social media. These are, like, become real jobs. Like, there's YouTube and, like Instagram influencers nowadays who, you know, they just, like, pick up a camera and, like, they just start doing it on their own and, like, figuring it out through trial and error. But I think that it's going to be definitely a challenge for people to, like, kind of, even though, like, I know that the market is now very open, like, there's no gatekeeper anymore, I think that, like, being intimidated by all of the people who are doing it is definitely, like, how, like, I was intimidated at first was because, I don't know, like, you are so worried about, like, there's so many voices out there, does mine even matter? But I want to, like, tell, like, other young folks out there that your voice does matter. You should tell your stories. You should be creative and don't worry about, like, who's watching and, like, and the amount of people, like, the viewers, that type of thing, the listeners. Just create what you want and, you know, have that outlet.
Do you hope that there's a way to make a living at this, Wendy? Or are you just glad that there's an outlet for you that is satisfying on a personal level, and that's enough? Do you think that this will be a way for you to go through the rest of your life and earn a living?
Definitely. And especially, again, talking about being part of a low-income family and community, I think that's one of the biggest, for sure, obstacles, because it can be so hard to finding a living in media, because sometimes you are putting your whole effort into something and really giving your truth out there, but sometimes in sort of like funding and getting the equipment and getting just like a proper living wage can be very difficult. I know I used to have like 2 or 3 jobs and still doing my projects on the side. And to me, I think it is possible, but I think the only way that's going to be possible is especially like programs like YR, BAVAC, and Valencia, if they support young people in the beginning. And because at the end of the day, mainstream media still hasn't been able to sort of completely accept us. And it's very hard to go into those spaces of mainstream media and asking for an opportunity to speak your stories and stuff like that when there's so many limitations of like, you need to have 5 years experience, 10 years experience, or you'll be able to find the good connections, or you have to know this type of people. And I feel like, to me, it is possible, but of course, I think the people who, you know, before us have to give that accessibility to us to make sure that happens, because so many of us actually do this work for free already. And it's just about telling people, like, there are youth out there, there are artists out there. There needs to be a better way of supporting their life and giving them a living wage and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And CJ, for you, where does your inspiration come from? You know, I was really moved when you were saying, for one thing, you asked us not to use your last name, and you said that you're in the process of changing your name. And you know, I just wonder, what do you watch? What do you read? Where is your input coming from that kind of gives you inspiration to break whatever logjam you've got going on so that you can put what's happening in your head down on a page?
Well, I have a lot of, like, I'm not, like, a huge reader, which I guess is bad because people say that the best writers are readers. But, like, I have such a short attention span, and I feel like this generation has such a short attention span that I just can't, like, sit down and read. So I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I'm a huge, like, music nerd, too. And I think my favorite artists are the ones who, like, can tell stories and do, like, concept albums and stuff. Like, my all-time idol is David Bowie, and I, like, I'm really inspired by what he did and, like, how he, like, told stories about characters and, like, dressed up and, like, was those characters on stage, but then, like, and wrote his lyrics in, like, experimental ways. So I'm sort of inspired by, and then, like I said, comic books, that stuff, too. I just like things that are very, like, my favorite thing and what I want to portray the most, I think, is, like, individuality and, like, being yourself to, like, the greatest extent. So, like, anybody who does that, I'm, like, really inspired by. And also, we were talking about like how anybody can be a writer, anybody can be a journalist, anybody can be a filmmaker now. And I feel like nowadays the internet is making things so DIY. Like some of my favorite artists are able to just do whatever they want because they make all their music on their own. It's like I'm very inspired by like the punk movement because they just did everything on their own. They didn't like have a label even. They just went out and just like played the music and just did it all on their own. So I just feel like this generation is making it easier for people to do those things. But you were talking about the challenges that come with that is that since there's so many people doing it, it becomes more competitive.
Yes.
And it's hard to like succeed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just feel like I'm very inspired by just like being able to do things on my own terms because I have access to the internet and to do whatever I want.
And because there's so much out there, I'm wondering, how do you break through? There's so much. Amber, I'll direct that question to you. How do you come up with something new when, and that's what it takes. If you want to break through, it has to be something that's never been seen before, never been heard before, something that's rare, unique, different. How do you break through when there's so much out there?
I think that, like, even though there's so much out there and coming up with something new, like, does that even exist anymore? You can go down a rabbit hole of, like, trying to figure out, like, what's something new I can bring to the table. But, like, everyone is in a way very unique, and like every person is special, and so that's like maybe very naive of me, but it's what I believe. And so if you just tell like your friends stories, you're like, you know, like people will also like relate to that. So it's also about bringing something new but also being relatable, because everyone, like a lot of stories are very universal even if you don't experience that yourself. And so I think that like just bringing something that's relatable, but also, like, fresh,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, just in general, Wendy, how you see youth being portrayed in media in general. What are your thoughts on how you see yourself being portrayed as a young person out there?
Yes. Especially, like, media, I feel like, portrays youth in such a way of, like, they're just rambunctious, there's nativity, there's no real life understanding, that sort of thing. And I feel like, especially with all these movements that youths are making with environment, gun control, education, there's definitely the voice for them, but there's no really anyone but youth listening to them. And I feel like it's sometimes very difficult when people say, like, you have no real understanding of the world yet, when our world is being impacted every day, and especially our lives sometimes. And I feel like sometimes it's hard to have people, youth, write their story and portray it in such a way without like, you know, funding or having the camera. It's usually always adults giving them that access, sort of thing, kind of thing. And I feel like now, especially with so many new shows and new creators out there, I feel like there's a change and shift of like, we have a voice. It's just up to you if you want to listen to us or not. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's definitely sort of changing in a way of like, we have so many things to say and we have things we want to fight for. And I'm glad for that kind of shift and change, and being also one of those young people and these young people right here talking about those issues today.
And how has the whole storytelling journey changed? As the youngest in the group at 16, CJ, you still had how many years? You said you started writing at what time? At what age?
I've always been telling stories, but I started mm-hmm. like writing like for fun, I guess. Probably towards like the end of towards like eighth grade. So I was like 14-ish, 14, 15. But I've always been like telling stories and like remembering stories, because I've like I have terrible memory with like certain things, but like with like ideas that I've come up with, I remember them as like. I don't know. I remember them super well. So I've started, like, writing and working on multiple projects since, like, then.
So how has your thinking about storytelling changed in that time?
I used to, like, not think about it as, like, a legitimate, like, career option or, like, a legitimate, like, thing that I could do. Like, I did think about it, but, like, not in, like, a serious way where I was going to, like, pursue it and, like, I don't know, try and, like, get it down, I guess. But, like, over the past few years, I've, like, legitimately been, like, I could probably do this as a job. I just need to keep doing it. And it's just sort of forcing myself to do it rather than just, you know, spending all day watching YouTube or, you know, whatever.
Nice work if you can get it, right? Watching YouTube and getting inspired. But you really do see yourself being able to make a living doing what you love.
Here's the thing. I don't really care about money that much. I mean, I care about it in the sense that you have to – in a capitalist society, you have to have it to, like, survive. But I would rather do what I love for my whole life. I'd rather do drag. I'd rather write. I'd rather, you know, perform, do all the things that I love than, like, get rich or, like, get money or, like, be able to, like – I want to be able to survive and, like, live. And, like, I have other ideas for, like, jobs that I could do and things that I could pursue, I guess. But I really just want to write, and I really just want to make a living off of writing, and that's just, like, my final goal, I guess.
That sounds very Gen Z.
It is. Yeah. I definitely agree. Many of my friends' conversations are the same about – it's not even about money anymore because, again, being after the whole recession thing and being the generation after that, it's always been like, oh, wealth is never going to be a thing, especially. It's very difficult, but – I definitely prefer having a life where I can create my work and connect with other people where they connect with my what I have to say.
Yeah.
And finally, Amber, we're short on time. So CJ and Wendy have weighed in on how they see their future, being able to make a living doing what you love. What do you see as your future and the ability to use this as a way to make what you love your living?
I think that, like, especially with me and Wendy, we're a little older, and I'm already starting to do that. Of course, like, I'm living at home, which is also very Gen Z.
Mm-hmm.
Both
yes,
my parents. Yeah. But I'm still doing, like, what I love. I think it's absolutely possible to do that because I think that our generation has seen so much in this world that we want to, like, tell this. We want to, like, be those change makers. We want to be the ones to change, like, this world around because it's going really downhill right now. And
yikes.
So we want to be those people that make this world a better place. And it's cheesy, but that's it.
It's been wonderful hearing the voices of youth. Thank you so much for being here and to see your faces. It's been a real treat.
Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. Amber Lee, Youth Radio Media's Associate Producer. Wendy Calmo, Bridges Fellowship Alumni and Outreach Coordinator for the Bay Area Video Coalition. And CJ, recent participant at the Young Authors Workshop with 826 Valencia. Thank all three of you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Call is produced at KALW in San Francisco. To listen to past shows or sign up for the podcast, visit YourCallRadio.org or find us on iTunes where you can give us a review. Follow us on Twitter at Your Call Radio and email show ideas and feedback to YourCall@KALW.org. Shireen Adele produced today's show. Phil Hartman is chief engineer. Kevin Vance is the studio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Renee Kemp. It's Your Call.